So hello everyone. Today I'm going to talk about enhancing delivery using Kubernetes Gateway API and Istio. Excuse me. Oh, is it fine now?
Yes.
All right. Kubernetes Gateway API and Istio and how we use these tools for internal deployments at DigitalOcean. A quick show of hands, like how many of us use Kubernetes at work? Gateway API, Istio, all that sort of stuff. Well, some folks know this stuff already. Bit about me, I'm Sachin. I work as software engineer at DigitalOcean, mainly on platform engineering team. And that's our cute mascot, Sammy. We have a couple of Sammys over here if someone wants plush toys. So it was a recurrent theme throughout the entirety of the day that continuous deployment and continuous integration is a really hard problem. And the reason it is hard is because there are a lot of tools at work here, like lots of software components at work in tandem with each other. And the blowing up of any of the component might lead to a degradation of the entirety of the deployment pipeline and eventually might lead to an incident or degradation in SLA and SLOs. So it's a tough problem. There are a lot of solutions, but some work, some kind of work. And in cases of normal rollouts, they don't provide a lot of protections against some failures, especially in cases of false positive, in which like failure of a container or readiness check don't indicate a failure of the entirety of pipeline. And so you don't have a lot of protection in those cases because it doesn't provide you a safe framework to roll back to. A bit interlude of how we do deployments at DigitalOcean. We use a software called DOCC. It's not an acronym. I think it was an acronym at some point, but we now agree it's not an acronym at this point. And it's just an abstraction on top of Kubernetes with all the same defaults, battery included, defaults provided. And it does not include all those features for Kubernetes, but it provides like 99% of the features that make sense for our internal users. So it's, like I said, it's a scalpel, not a sesame knife for declarative deployments that we do at DigitalOcean. A bit architecture of DOCC, it's a simple client-server architecture. We have a DOCC, client that talks to a server. The server talks to a Kube API server. We have a bunch of controllers that interact with the Kube API server. We use kubectl, but it's mostly for the platform team to have administrative tasks because users don't usually care about the low-level details, but we do provide some read access if someone wants. And fun fact, DOCC server is deployed on top of DOCC, so it's kind of like a chicken egg thing. Very simple DOCC manifest. It's declarative, like I said. We use JSON instead of YAML. We got a bad taste for YAML at a certain point. Fairly intuitive. We have namespaces, scale, container to define the container that will be deployed. maintainer for which team, so that the team can be rolled back to in case of a failure. all that jazz, really intuitive, really simple to use. Getting back to our normal rollouts, we'll take a quick look of how normal rollouts work and what's the problem with those approaches in the end. We'll use a simple Nginx deployment to track this. So we used to have a 123 image, we converted it to 124, applied that manifest, the update starts rolling out. So initially we just have all the traffic pointing at 123, but as time goes on, as soon as we apply the manifest, the newer versions will start coming up. So you see there's a 124 application that came up, and the traffic will be reverted to that one, and the older version will be destroyed. And the same thing goes for all of these. It looks like they are in-place updates, but the cycle is always the newer version gets created, the traffic gets redirected, and the older one is finished off. And going on, we can see some obvious problem with this. First thing first is like there is no way to control the percentage or the time for the traffic to be rolled over. So in case of large deployments, it can take a couple, and in case of small deployments, it's like a couple of seconds. But essentially, no one has control over it. It depends on a lot of factors. None of us is in our control. And second, most important, if you see the last image, like in case of bugs, there are no previous deployments left back to roll back to. So if there is a fault in the newer rollouts, you're kind of out of luck because you cannot roll back to anything. So the solution is progressive rollouts. Progressive rollouts is like a simple, minimal approach of deploying traffics in a periodic way to the newer versions so that it enhances reliability and gives you a bit more confidence on your application deployment. And the user experience is much more better due to this because users are much more confident on what they're rolling out. And you can test out on a sample of subset of the newer rollouts before committing to the entire entirety of a rollout. Among a plethora of rollout methods that are present, like blue-green, A-B testing, canary rollouts, we deployed for most of our use cases canary and A-B testing because it made much more sense, but there's also scope for improvement, as in when we see like and there is an actual demand for it. So we'll start by looking at how we use canary deployments and how we created canary deployments using all these tools that I mentioned before. So if you remember out the manifest, in it we have also a section to define the deployment strategy that we'll employ. So for in this case, it's a canary deployment with the configuration. So 5% of the traffic will be rolled out every 120 seconds or 2 minutes. Pretty simple. Let's see it in action. So as soon as we do that, there's a proxy that comes in between. And that's a load balancing proxy that talks to the DOCC client rather than the services directly talking to the client and then the services doing something changes on based on those clients. So it's the task of the load balancing proxy to divide the traffic into, as per the configurations, into the rollouts. So we can see the obvious benefits of this approach. We have a lot of control over the traffic, the time that when we need to roll out to the newer issues. And then in the case of any failures, we obviously have some traffic still flowing onto the older deployments so that it can be reverted back in case of failure. So this obviously gives us a lot of confidence moving forward. To achieve this, we use these open source tools, Istio, Envoy Proxy, Gateway API. And let's zoom in a bit and see how these work in synergy and how we use them to apply this. So first thing first, Istio is a service mesh. Service meshes are software layers that essentially separate out the networking part out of your applications and have a separate layer for ingress or egress traffic or in between, even in between your services. And it provides, it provides encryption, observability, traffic splitting, and all that cool stuff. And it's just essentially used as a control plane to manage all your proxies. So we use Istio to manage our load balancing proxy. So Istio provides all the configurations, how proxies, in which architecture of proxies will be deployed, what will be the configuration of the proxies, the certificate management, security, every kind of stuff is provided by Istio to those load balancing proxies. And this proxy, as we'll see, are just Envoy proxies underneath the garbs. Shocking. So what is Envoy proxy? It's a open source, high performance edge and service proxy designed to facilitate communication between services. So it essentially intercepts and manage all the traffic that comes out, that comes from ingress traffic, maybe in between the services or egress traffic. So it's all controlled by Envoy proxy, and Envoy in turn is controlled by Istio. So Envoy acts as a control plane, and Istio acts as a control plane, and Envoy acts as a data plane for our architecture. And yeah, here we have it. So underneath the graphs, it was on my proxy all along, managed by Istio. And to glue this all together, we have Gateway APIs, which are open source Kubernetes native libraries that provide us a consistent framework and interfaces to manage all these network-related properties and objects in any Kubernetes native software application. It was the predecessor of Ingress API. I think it was, they tried to name it Ingress 2.0, but that did not encapsulate the entirety of what this API stands for. There is a lot more that Gateway API provides that Ingress does not. And if any one of us has used Ingresses, they know they provide a lot of pain just because different providers have very different objects, very different way of doing things. So for example, if you're using Nginx, that will have very different objects or very different way of managing the traffic than Istio or Linkerd or any of those service meshes. So Gateway APIs try to ease all that pain and provide the consistent framework to manage the entirety. So you can quickly switch off between different providers without worrying too much that a functionality will break. And another benefit is because it's Kubernetes native, so you can treat it as a native Kubernetes object and not have to import or get a third-party software for doing that. So it's all very much in the Kubernetes ecosystem. Gateway API provides us a couple of objects, but the two I highlighted are kind of important to us. A gateway object that encompasses the service mesh, in our case Istio, and how that service mesh will be, what will the behavior of that service mesh. So it will be different for Istio, it will be different for Linkerd, but essentially every one of these service meshes will implement a gateway object. So you don't have to worry about a feature breaking in case you switch between different service meshes. And it also it also spits out the roles. It has a role-based architecture. So gateway is something that cluster admins are worried about, and HTTP route here, which is also a gateway API component, is something that provides traffic management on application level details. So it's not the job. Obviously, these two have to collaborate together, but it's not the onus on application managers to maintain Istio cluster, manage all their configurations, all that stuff. So the role kind of separates out, and it's very much less friction in doing work. So Gateway provides us a way for managing the traffic from Ingress traffic, and then that Ingress traffic per application basis, it's spread out into different services depending on what on the kind of application that we wanted to redirect it to.